Being offended in Scripture implies a sort of a spiritual fault. It's where the root of bitterness comes from, and what it implies is that our spiritual focus can be put at risk. It's like the chink in the armor. A chink is that little hole, you know, that little crack, that you shoot the arrow into the chink to get past the armor and the protection that it provides. So being offended actually is that chink in our armor that HaSatan can use to cause us to stumble, to fall or trip, turn aside from those things that are of Yahweh. Psalm 119, 165. Says, there is abundant peace to the lovers of your Torah, and there is no stumbling block for them. Now, if you read that passage in the King James Version, it says, nothing shall offend them. So the difference between stumble, because it speaks of spiritual stumbling and being offended, is simply a matter of the translator's preference, I think, here. So to trip up spiritually, to stumble, and to be offended are effectively the same concept in Scripture. If you can be offended, then HaSatan has access to you in that way. It's like a little door opening that he can move aside and walk right in. It creates a very hard problem once offense takes place to try to resolve it and put it away and go on with our lives. Let's look at Proverbs 18, verse 19, where it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. We are, I think, not to be careful not to give offense. I suggest that we also consider that a child of Yahweh take no offense. You know, we can't fix anybody else. We can only be responsible for us. We need to be careful. We can't just be trampling on people and not be concerned. That would be irresponsible. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verses 32 and 33. It says, give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to Yahweh's assembly. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. Our actions can impact a person's calling and on the way that they respond. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Where it says, be imitators of me, just as I am also am of Messiah. That's strong advice, since it relates to the possibility of a person turning, stumbling, and falling away from Yahweh's truth. Let's go now to Luke 17. We're going to be jumping all over scriptures here. Luke 17, verses 1 through 4. He said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. We're talking about little baby children here, right? Offending baby children? No, we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about little ones. The little ones are the ones who can be offended. It's the mature believers who are able to defend against offense. This is in the context of the rest of Scripture. Just as it says the little ones are the ones who get offended, so you have to be careful for them, but the little ones have to recognize that at some point in time, they also have the obligation to take no offense. Let us not trample anybody, but neither should we be in a position where we're constantly being trampled, because it causes division, separation, injury. And frankly, it's the open door for Hasatan to come and push his way into our mind. Matthew 24 shows that under periods of distress in the assembly, offenses are going to be created that are going to actually cause people to stumble, to trip, to fall away, and then turn on each other, start to sort of consume each other in a very terrible way. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 8 through 12. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many, because Torahlessness, if I can use that, is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. Now, you have to have love here. We're talking about members of the body here where their love grows cold. So there had to be love to begin with for it to grow cold. Not just society at large, because deceit and false prophets ultimately impact us if we stumble and turn away. Matthew 24, 13 and 14 says, But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This evangel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So it just says there's going to be an environment that's going to cause or increase the risk of somebody taking offense. And the warning is that you'd better be careful not to do that, not to give offense or to take it. What a remarkable commentary about a family, an assembly, that someone might say, you know, they don't take offense. That's a wonderful blessing. James chapter 3. I told you we'd be bouncing around Scripture. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show his good behavior, his deeds in the gentleness of his wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. Being self-focused and self-willed is an expression of HaSatan's influence in your life. Let's continue in James in verses 16 through 18. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So there is a specific way we are to express ourselves. Yeah. Let's go to Mark, the Evangel of Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And he went up on the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted. And they came to him, and he appointed 12, so that they would be with him, and that he could send them out to preach, and to have authority to cast out the demons. And he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. He picked them to be the disciples, but he didn't intend them to stay that way. When you see the examples of their lives, of all of their lives, they were truly thunderous, ready to call down fire on those who opposed them. But they couldn't remain such and be of service to the body. Let's look at Mark 10, verses 35 through 40. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Yeshua, saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your honor. But Yeshua said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be immersed with the immersion with which I am immersed? They said to him, We are able. And Yeshua said to them, The cup I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be immersed with the immersion with which I am immersed. But to sit on my right or my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom I have been prepared. Now, when the other 10 heard that they weren't, you know, they heard what James and John were asking, they weren't offended at all, right? Of course they were offended. They began to be greatly displeased with James and John for bumping up to the front of the line, trying to become teacher's pet. Well, let's go to Mark 10, 42 and 43. Calling them to himself, Yeshua said to them, You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the nations exercise dominion over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. See, the whole idea here is to help and serve and look out for the interest of others, not ourselves. Going on in Mark 10 to 44 and 45, it says, "And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." James and John, who were they? James was the first apostle to be martyred. John was the only apostle that the record seems to show that was not martyred. Was John still one of the sons of thunder at the end of his life? He wrote the Evangel of John, the Evangel of love. So John lived out his life and died. He suffered and went to prison. Yahweh worked through him in mighty ways, but he is remembered as the apostle of love. It's a far cry from the son of thunder. You remember the apostle that wanted to fry everybody in a village because they weren't responding in the right way? That's a strong indication of a change of heart. Yahweh knew what he was doing in John's life. Sometimes we look at the opposite of a thing to determine what a thing is. If you follow that. The opposite of offense is forgiving. Have you ever apologized to someone? Maybe something you said and they responded, I know you didn't mean that. In other words, they didn't have to stop and forgive you. They never took offense in the first place. They chose not to be offended. They processed their life in that way. It wasn't that they forgave us. They never took offense to begin with. This is a very special character quality. Turn with me to Romans 14, Romans chapter 14, verses 16 through 19. "Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of Yahweh is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Ruach HaKodesh. For he who is in this way serves Messiah is acceptable to Elohim and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." So what are the things that make for peace? I say peace is a destination. Let's look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Yahshua, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh." What does despising the shame mean? He endured the stake, despising the shame. Does it mean lashing out at the Roman soldiers and yelling at them and throwing your stake at them? It doesn't. It means to just pay no attention to it. It's not worth anything. I don't like it. It's not worth anything to me. You know that whole thing about sticks and stones and, well, words can hurt, but the point is, Yeshua, the Messiah, refused to be offended by their actions. He would not allow them to hurt him. He just let it go and despised the shame. Going on in Hebrews verses 3 through 6, it says, "For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of Yahweh, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom Yahweh loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives." The way I read that, it says to be willing to take trouble into your life, if need be, knowing that the finishing of your faith is profitable. It makes us mature. Hebrews 12, 7 through 10 says, "It is for discipline that you endure. Elohim deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all become part But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subjected to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his set apart spirit." Do you think Yahweh is in charge of our lives and can protect us and guide us and put his angels around us, intercede on our behalf as he chooses? When Yahweh doesn't intercede on our behalf, it is somehow with a purpose. Going on in Hebrews 12 to 11 and 13, it says, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. The injury would be improved and not irritated." Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see Yahweh. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of Elohim, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." There's a warning here, not to let something trip you up in this way. Let's go to Romans for a bit. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. Love our neighbor. Romans 15:3. For even Messiah did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Yahshua endured all those things for the sake of others, not himself. Going on in Romans 15, verses 4 through 6. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the Elohim who gives perseverance grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Yahshua Messiah, so that with one accord you may with one voice esteem Yahweh Elohim of Yahshua Messiah. Going back to scriptures like James, where it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's a tough call. But it says, let patience have its perfect work. So there is a process that plays out. What is it that drives us toward being a willing sacrifice? What is it that drives us to turn the other cheek or to go the extra mile? Or when the Roman soldier directs you to carry his pack a mile, you're willing to go too. The willingness to go out of your way or the extra mile to give someone the shirt off of your back. What is that? That is what saves you from offense. That willingness to gladly do more than is required. Sacrificing yourself willingly for the benefit of another. I think the character trait that this is compassion. You can take offense or be offended, and your compassion for another will cancel the offense out. The opposites will make things right. One is poison, the other the antidote. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38. Yahshua was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the evangel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech Yahweh of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And then going to Matthew 23, verses 37 and 38. Where it says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. He's not talking about them receiving their just rewards or their punishment. He's talking about their loss of opportunity and blessings because of their attitude and approach. He's crying out to them, I would like to help you. I want to help you. But you murdered those that I sent to help. Matthew 23:39 says, For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And it's in Yahweh's name and for his sake that I implore you, don't be offended, ever. Hallelujah.